is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think. Oh, captain, oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, wow. There are red spots under your eyes.
Chapter 2. A Wanted Nail. Zhang Qinghua spends the next half day or so pacing around Luo Binghe's childhood town, talking to himself, looking like a deranged madman. He's speaking partly to his strict, stingy system, which endeavors to give him nothing in this life but bad missions, punishments, and the silent treatment. But the locals giving him concerned looks don't know that. Zhang Qinghua does not think that their distrust and unease would be settled by him earnestly explaining the concept of transmigration. "Hey, bro," he'd say, "have you ever had an existential crisis before, bro? No? Well, do you want to have one? Fuck it, I can probably give you two." Anyway, he does talk to himself for the most part, muttering, not unlike the way steam comes out of a teapot. He's always done that, in both lives, having too many thoughts to keep all of them inside his head without overflow. Airplane has always been this annoying. Anding Peak and Zhongqing Mountain Sect have just gotten used to Zhang Qinghua's annoying quirks. Peak lords are allowed a few eccentricities. The locals, unused to his antics, unaware of his position, see him muttering to himself and hastily cross the street. Very understandable reaction, really. Zhang Qinghua doesn't blame them at all. How can he blame them when everything, absolutely everything, and everyone in this world is arguably his fucking fault? What the fuck? What the fuck? Zhang Qinghua is maybe overdue for his latest transmigration-related existential breakdown. Sorry, Lin Luo Town, home of future protagonist Luo Binghe. Going to have to put up with a disturbed cultivator wandering in circles and tugging his hair for a little while. Until Zhang Qinghua either strangles his stupid conscience back into submission, back to death, really. He didn't know he still had one. Or figures out what the fuck he's supposed to do about his protagonist son's teenage adoptive mother doomed to die young. He honestly just kind of wants to post this dilemma to an online forum and let the denizens of the internet fight it out in the comments. As an unwilling author god transmigrator, do I owe child support to my protagonist son's teenage adoptive mother, otherwise doomed to die young of preventable causes? Yes or no? He knows that he had anti-fans who would argue this is only really what he deserves for his shitty sellout writing. He knows that there are heartless internet denizens who would argue that it's really the mother's fault for being poor and adopting a child she couldn't care for. He even knows that some people, the rare, nice, and thoughtful internet dwellers who bless every wretched online forum with their calm presence and reasonable words, for however long they last there, might more gently argue that Airplane never intended for Proud Immortal Demon Way to be a real place, and so he's not responsible for all the suffering within it. He just wanted to pay his rent and buy his groceries through his writing. It wasn't about quality, it was about survival. And that's okay, even if he originally had different plans. Zhang Qinghua kind of desperately holds on to that perspective of absolution every day of his second life. He didn't mean it. He didn't agree to his story being realized. It's not on him. Zhang Qinghua's feet are starting to hurt from pacing in circles around this town. But that's only problem one. He's already picked his moral responsibilities to pieces over years of unwillingly contemplating his shitty situation while trying and failing to fall asleep at night. If he forces himself to harden his heart completely, he knows that he can do it. He can force himself to see everyone here as words on a page. problem, too, is whether or not the system will let him help. If, say, he decides to actually do something about this depressing protagonist backstory. Look, in the beginning, when the system first kicked into Shang Qinghua's head and unhappy childhood, it told him that he was here in part to make proud immortal demon Wei into a better story. But honestly, what the fuck does that even mean? Better story? Isn't that totally subjective? As in, totally unique to individual readers? Who exactly is the audience here? Shang Qinghua has tried to demand of his aspiring-to-be monosyllabic system for years. What are their tastes? Can he at least get a comment section to work off of? Some reviews? Are they a shipper who wants Luo Binghe to be monogamous and in love with a favorite wife? Who is Airplane supposed to be pandering to in order to save this world and his life? He's definitely not above selling out. He's ultimately a practical guy, but he needs feedback. Better story could mean anything. Less comedy? More comedy? Less tragedy? More tragedy? Less realism? More realism? Less pa-pa-pa? More pa-pa-pa? Shang Qinghua has no idea. And his no-good system is no help at all. Anyway, so, Shang Qinghua sort of gave up on actually changing the plot of this world once he realized how strict and stingy and utterly unhelpful his uncooperative system was. It had the nerve to tell him he was here to make a better story, and that it wouldn't actually let him change anything big. It wouldn't give him anything to do that with. When Shang Qinghua, as a child, tried to float the idea of not becoming a cultivator and going through all that hard work and danger, his system hadn't approved of completely removing Shang Qinghua from the main plot like that. When he had tried to float the idea of joining a cultivation sect that wasn't Tong Chong Mountain Sect, thereby not entirely leaving the plot behind, the system shot him down hard. And when he tried to get into any other peak, his system wouldn't let him join anything besides Anding. It was taking care of logistics or punishment, head disciple or bust, peak lord or bust. He had been assigned to the Shang Qinghua role, and there was no getting out of the trappings of that. As a disciple, Shang Qinghua considered maybe trying to talk to Su Xiyan, except he couldn't even look towards Huanhua Palace without his system reminding him that potentially interfering with the existence of the protagonist would result in severe punishment. So Shang Qinghua didn't have the guts to approach Huanhua Palace sect or its head disciple with how to date a demon emperor tips. Too risky. He could have approached Tian Lang Jun after Su Xiyan had been kidnapped by her former master, with the heavenly demon framed for the dastardly deed, when she was definitely already pregnant with the protagonist. But the system threatened potential punishment again. Luo Binghe was not allowed to be raised by his birth parents, even in this better story. How could there be a dramatic reveal of his demonic heritage later in the story unless Luo Binghe was raised to be ordinary and unaware? Even if the tragic fates of Su Xiyan and Tian Lang Jun were prevented according to the demands of the iron-fisted system, they would still not be allowed to raise their own son in this world. Shang Qinghua hadn't really cared about them. He'd never actually met them. It's that proud immortal demon Wei had some really bad shit in there sometimes. He didn't want to die for being a scum spy, and if he managed to avoid that plotline, he might be in big trouble when Tang Chong Mountain Sect was raised. Keeping Su Xiyan and Tian Lang Jun together, giving Luo Binghe a happy childhood, might actually keep the world stable. Shang Qinghua had to care at least a little bit about the fate of this world, since he was now one of the poor unfortunate souls who lived in it. So yeah, he'd considered changing and avoiding the whole damn story, hoping for something like a peaceful life instead. But the relative order of the demon realm kind of needed to fracture anyway, in order for the protagonist to eventually conquer and unite it again. So Shang Qinghua had weighed his options, considered his meager courage, and let the demon emperor fall exactly as Airplane Shooting Towards the Sky had written. Or, you know, alluded to in the case of his dropped Tianlangjun plotlines. Some foundational plot points, it seemed, just couldn't be changed. Shang Qinghua could have spent his time running around, trying to prevent or lessen as many tragedies and misunderstandings as he could remember, for all his other characters, out of the goodness of his heart. He could have done it. The system didn't seem to object to the idea of Shang Qinghua helping out Bingha's future wives, or meddling with the lives of non-wife supporting characters to a limited extent. Some plot elements were negotiable like that, so long as they remained within whatever the system considered reasonable boundaries of development for canon. But who had time for that? Who had the resources for that? Not Shang Qinghua. Closer to home, in his youth, he toyed with the idea of preventing Yue Qingyuan's disastrous claiming of his spiritual sword, or preventing the blackening of Shen Qingqiu. But he'd been young and weak, and no one would have listened to him anyway, and he'd been terrified of the potential consequences for entering the spirit caves without permission or running away to the Qiu estate. He couldn't afford to get kicked out of Tang Chang. He made it to the position of head disciple by the skin of his teeth. His life had depended on beating out all of the other competition for the title of Peak Lord. And it had been a real competition, a fierce one, because Shang Qinghua did not have a protagonist halo. He wasn't even able to disable the OOC locks, which were not a welcome addition to his second childhood, until he'd completed his system-given quest to be accepted into Anding Peak. Right now, well, he's busy. He's a peak lord. He can't realistically go running around meddling with random bits of demon and human politics just to give some of his protagonist's sons, future wives, less tragic backstories. He could die like that. And, well, he's really too much of a coward to try anything like nudging Yue Qingyuan and Shen Qingqiu into mending fences now. They don't want to get out of their respective flaming emotional garbage piles. Shang Qinghua doesn't want to get burned. They're adults. They're both peerless immortal cultivation masters. His martial brothers can get off their asses and fix their own tragic character arcs if they're so miserable. If Shang Qinghua has ever created any kind of canon divergence, beyond patching world-building plot holes during the day-in and day-out of Anding, it's almost certainly been accidental. Insignificant. Too insignificant to have any real impact on the plot. So the system either didn't care or didn't care to mention it to him. Insignificant is kind of how Shang Qinghua likes it these days. Then, hopefully, no one will notice when he fakes his death after fulfilling his last unavoidable, totally non-negotiable plot requirements. Preferably, no one will investigate the sudden, unfortunate death of cowardly cannon fodder, the insignificant Shang Qinghua. The protagonist is not insignificant. System, if I give Luo Jiahui money, would I be punished?
No.
Great! So Shang Qinghua can just give Luo Jiahui a hefty coin purse, then she'll be able to afford a better quality of life, get a better job, and hopefully be able to pay for medicine later. Problem solved. Airplane will pay his child support and be done with it. He's not opposed to sending Luo Jiahui a hearty stipend either. It goes against the idea of making the protagonist suffer as much as possible, all to make him stronger. but maybe it'll make Shang Qinghua feel less like shit. Sure, a poor washerwoman could be robbed if someone saw that she had a big pile of money, and Shang Qinghua can't remember seeing a lock on the door to her hovel. It was definitely a hovel. Fuck, he mutters. What if Luo Jiahui is robbed for the money and gets killed? What if Shang Qinghua, making her an easy target, gets her killed before the protagonist is capable of making his own way to Dongjiang Mountain Sect? What if Luo Bingha dies? Early protagonist's death will result in consequences. What? What are the consequences? System! What does that mean? Shang Qinghua thinks, alarmed. Consequences? That's very vague. A system window pops up in front of Shang Qinghua, listing the potential consequences that an early protagonist's death will have on both himself as a transmigrator and the world in general. Oh, that is a very long list of consequences. Ah, that's too much detail. Why do you only ever talk to me when you're listing potential punishments if I fail your shitty missions? Shang Qinghua asks faintly, pointlessly, and closes the pop-up window with a shaking hand. System, bro, it's really out of line, you know. He has the worst system. There are no rewards for him. No upgrades, no leveling up, no skill charts, no perks, no boosters. No, it's just hard fucking work. Shang Qinghua had to learn to do mathematics and martial arts by himself. Logistics by himself. All by himself. He earned his golden core with blood, sweat, and tears. And, some rare, small boosts from some golden finger plot device items. Maybe. But still, he swears that his system has never liked him and has, in fact, purposefully been giving him the cold shoulder to the highest degree ever since he finally managed to turn off the official OOC locks. What happens if just Luo Jiahui dies? Shang Qinghua asks. No consequences. So, if Luo Bingha gets adopted by someone else, that's fine? The consequences only really, ultimately relate to the protagonist, huh? Shang Qinghua says. The system probably considers the question redundant and doesn't answer. What happens if Luo Jiahui lives? Shang Qinghua tries. No consequences. What? Really? The system, of course, refuses to repeat itself. Luo Bingha still has to join Dongjiang Mountain Sect and all that, though? The system doesn't say anything, but Shang Qinghua definitely gets a sense of, obviously, idiot. Will there be consequences if Luo Bingha doesn't join Dongjiang Sect? Shang Qinghua asks, just to be sure. Almost immediately, he nearly walks face first into another system pop-up window, listing the many consequences everyone will suffer if the protagonist doesn't join Dongjiang Mountain Sect. The consequences of such an enormous canon divergence, effectively requiring an entirely different supporting cast, are unsurprisingly severe. Not so severe as the consequences of the protagonist accidentally dying without completing the main plot, but, definitely still not good for Shang Qinghua. Man, he has the worst system. Shittiest transmigration guide. No good. Fuck you, Shang Qinghua mutters and closes the pop-up window. He can almost hear his beloved anti-fans' hands slamming their keyboards and their phone screens, ready to put him to pyre for the protagonist's beloved mother, living or dying, apparently having no crucial impact on the main plot. Oh, look, the anti-fans would say, another female character with no real narrative impact. Who looks for well-developed female characters in a sellout stallion novel with a blackened protagonist anyway? That makes no sense. Fuck you, Shang Qinghua mutters again. Out of the corner of his eye, he sees a random local give him a scandalized look, but he ignores them. Shang Qinghua may be a complete joke to OP righteous cultivators and super OP demon lords, so he assumes, but the average mundane human with any common sense is usually unwilling to fuck with any semi-serious cultivator. Shang Qinghua doesn't really fit the expected description of a peerless immortal peak lord, like Shun fucking Qin Chu, but he likes to think he hits some this bro is a real cultivator vibes for some people. System, would there be consequences if Luo Binghe grew up in a different town?
No.
Would there be consequences if Luo Binghe grew up in a town or village along the Tiangong mountain range?
No.
Would there be consequences if Luo Jiahui and Luo Binghe moved to Sanjiao town?
No.
Shang Qinghua has never heard a robotic voice sound so begrudging. Oh, he kind of feels like dancing. This is the first piece of real canon divergence he's been able to uncover that actually seems doable. In decades, he hasn't really been able to do anything to impact the plot before now. Everything else has been too high risk or high effort.
Points will be deducted for the plot hole of Shang Qinghua knowing the whereabouts of and caring for the son of Tianlang Jun and Su Xian.
Shang Qinghua freezes, which is probably a good thing, because dancing by himself on the edge of a town already giving him weird looks might push these locals over their own edge. Shang Qinghua's probably too modern victory dance, despite years of cultivation, is sure to be objectively weird-looking. Someone might scream, "Demonic possession!" if he busts a move here, and then it'll be all downhill from there. Shitty system, Shang Qinghua thinks. Be a bro for once. You built up to that. The latest system pop-up window hangs there very smugly. Shang Qinghua sighs. How many points? He asks exhaustedly. Another system window pops up to show him the numbers, and they're not bad? Seriously, Shang Qinghua knows his numbers now. He knows how to make them dance. Sometimes he gets so into Anding's accounting that he thinks of ordinary writing as people numbers. He knows how to evaluate investments and, while Anding and Tang Qiang occasionally take some losses thanks to a bad assessment, Shang Qinghua got to be the peak lord of the logistics division for a reason. Besides the fact that he absolutely used some underhanded tactics in his climb, it was peak lord or bust. All's fair in trying not to die. Shang Qinghua considers the point loss. What are his excuses, character motivations here? Why is his unmerciful system not completely skewering him for this? He is the servant of a demon lord, Mo Bei Jun, the future northern king, so he has a greater investment than most cultivators in the future of the demon realm, so it's not unreasonable for him to seek out any bastards of Tianlang Jun without handing the demon baby over to a righteous sect. He's also a peak lord of Tianqiang Mountain Sect, so it's not unreasonable for him to be interested in any rumors of the whereabouts of Su Xian or what happened to her, for political leverage or whatever. The character of Shang Qinghua originally was, and still is, a spy, on top of being a shameless coward willing to cling to anyone's thighs and then stab them in the back in order to stay alive or advance himself. There are plenty of magical artifacts in this world that might give a power-grubbing weakling like Shang Qinghua an insight into the future. As peak lord of Anding, Shang Qinghua is, in fact, in a pretty good place to get his greedy hands on one of these magical artifacts, or lots of these magical future-telling artifacts. Isn't that what a good spy and overall ambitious snake would do? Especially a spy serving a demon lord extremely likely to get fed up with him and kill him at some point, while also serving a righteous cultivation sect extremely likely to execute him for eventually betraying them. Of course Shang Qinghua would obviously want to know how to save his own ass from these ticking time bombs. And how better to save his own ass than shamelessly clinging to the golden thighs of the protagonist who will one day conquer every other demon lord and all righteous sects? Following Luo Binghe means being on the endgame winning team. Shang Qinghua looks over the pop-up window's numbers again, in regards to the loss of points. True, how exactly he tracked down Su Xian's half-demon baby when the Huanhua Palace Master failed is a bit of a plot hole, but the rest can be easily explained away with a bit of creativity. Oh, the rest of the cultivation world didn't know Su Xian was pregnant? Well, Shang Qinghua is a slimy, sneaky spy who would, of course, guess that a female cultivator might suddenly disappear like that for months on end due to a secret pregnancy. And given that Su Xian's reputation had been linked to a passionately self-destructive Tian Langjun, okay, he can feel the anti-rage fan at that mildly sexist line of thinking. But it stands. It stands. Now, Shang Qinghua just has to actually decide whether or not he wants to take the point loss in order to save the life of his protagonist's son's adoptive mother, Luo Jiahui. Now, if he went around changing things just because he felt kind of bad about things, he'd have done a lot of things by now. He would regularly be intervening in both demon and human politics to prevent the tragic backstories for so many of his son's future wives. He would have told Shen Qingqiu exactly why Yue Qingyuan didn't appear to come back for him, just to stop meetings from being horribly awkward experiences. Having to watch his asshole co-worker and his semi-asshole boss be painfully dysfunctional and know exactly why, it's not a fun experience. But it's not really his business. His heart is hardened here. What's in it for him, really? Saving Luo Jiahui. Besides the fact that it might make his recently revived conscience shut up. He has half a mind to just walk away on the grounds that nothing good couldn't possibly come from feeding his conscience like this. Guilt and pity aren't to be induced into his consideration. Well, for one thing, Luo Binghe loves his adoptive mother. Even as the fully blackened protagonist, his late mother held a special place in his hardened heart, untouched by anyone else and never spoken of in serious depth. If Shang Qinghua helps the protagonist's adoptive mother, if he gets her medicine and prevents her wholly avoidable death, then he basically made it in this second life of his. He'll be in the protagonist's good books. The protagonist will owe Shang Qinghua an unpayable debt out of filial love and piety. Oh, that's a pretty good reason. That's a very good reason. Very selfish. Very in character for the scum spy Shang Qinghua. And of course, if the blackened protagonist, Luo Binghe, ever somehow finds out that Shang Qinghua had the opportunity to help his adoptive mother and didn't, then, oh, Shang Qinghua can almost feel himself turning green. Oh, that would not be good. His mind made up, his meager courage screwed back to the sticking place, Shang Qinghua returns to Luo Jiahui's hovel. He's helping her for very selfish reasons, obviously. Not because he threw up in an alleyway earlier at the unthinkable idea of a teenage girl doing sex work to support a baby he calls his son. Yeah, that incident happened for completely unrelated reasons. His heart has been hardened to viewing people in this world as anything besides words on a page. Anyway, now he just has to convince Luo Jiahui to follow him to the Tiangong mountain range. And let him put her up in a house in Sanjiao town, or something. For reasons. Fuck. He really doesn't have a good explanation prepared for this. A good explanation doesn't swoop in to save him. All his many lies don't jump into good order by the time that Luo Jiahui opens the door again. She looks at him like he might as well be a demon in disguise. She looks like she's afraid he's come back to take her up on her earlier assumption after all. She looks so, so young. Madame Luo, Shang Chenghua begins awkwardly, bowing to her, attempting to appear as respectful as he can manage. I cannot in good conscience leave you and your foundling son without offering my assistance. Oh, bad start. Luo Jiahui is clearly reading bad things into that. I swear that I mean you no harm. Zhang Chenghua promises quickly. But this is a conversation I don't think will be wise to have on the street. May I come in? Very reluctantly, Luo Jiahui nods. She steps aside to let Shang Chenghua back into her hovel, where little Luo Binghe is sitting on his cot, awake and chewing on a wooden block. Ah, the adorableness of his son is still too OP. Shang Chenghua doesn't even like children. Shang Chenghua turns away from his son quickly, however, because he doesn't think more accidental creepy staring will put Luo Jiahui at ease in any way. He gratefully accepts the stool that Luo Jiahui offers him once she closes the door of her home. Once she's settled carefully on an overturned basin, he begins. Not gently. I am Shang Chenghua, the peak lord of Anding Peak, of Chang Chang Mountain Sect. To prove it, Shang Chenghua reaches into his robes and brings out his personal spiritual seal, a small yet ornate token with the Chang Chang sigil on one side and the symbol of Anding on the other, glowing faintly with spiritual energy. The gold decorations on the white jade token specifically marks him as the Lord of Anding Peak, which is kind of a pretty big deal to most people. Zhangqiang Mountain Sect is the most famous cultivation sect in the known world, and Luo Jiahui doesn't fail to recognize the name. Her brown eyes go hilariously wide, and she starts so violently that she nearly falls off her makeshift seat. Makes sense. Zhang Chenghua is pretty sure that Luo Binghe's adoptive mother is the one who originally encouraged him to join Chang Chang Mountain Sect and make something of himself. Mostly sure, at least. Maybe 40% sure, actually. Gently, Zhang Chenghua hands the spiritual seal to Luo Jiahui. Her hands shake as her eyes widen even further, its glow reflected in her gaze, as she takes in the warmth and buzz of its spiritual energy against her skin. All the peaks have the capability to produce spiritual seals, but most official spiritual seals are generally made by Wanjian Peak, and they represent that the individual has the backing of their sect. Shang Chenghua's personal spiritual seal represents his authority to speak on behalf of Anding Peak and even all of Tiangcheng Mountain Sect, at least until sect leader Yue Qingyuan or another peak lord shows up to denounce his words. With it, Shang Chenghua can requisition support and supplies from affiliated cultivators and sects, If he runs out of money on a mission, he can wave his seal at someone saying, Chung, Chung, a mountain sect will be good for it, and then use the seal to stamp a scroll that can't easily be tampered with, which a merchant can use to bill Chung Chung Mountain Sect through Anding Peak, actually. As spiritual items, the seals can't be replicated, can't be stolen, without being recalled or self-destructing. Chung Chung comes down hard on anyone who tries to fake one. Most sects use some form of them and agree imposters should be severely punished. Most senior cultivators and even some senior disciples of Tian Chung have one. And to abuse one for your own gain means that Anding will hunt you down. Zhang Qinghua will nail your ass to the wall. Not sexy nailing. And he will then, promptly, shamelessly, and gleefully bring down the full wrath of Yue Qingyuan and whichever peak lord whose reputation and trust has just been grievously disrespected. Oh man, side note, last year this one drunken Qing Jing cultivator, a man of the current peak lord's generation, in a fit of victory high generosity after his last mission, tried to use his personal Tiang Chong spiritual seal at a brothel to buy himself and every other customer there a round. Not for pa-pa-pa-related life-saving purposes, for which Chung Chung had some limited allowance, but purely for pleasure purposes. Bragging rights. Oh man, it was bad. Shun Qingqiu was pissed. Yue Qingyuan had come in clutch to save that poor, stupid fool's life and dick. Or so Zhang Qinghua assumes. That's what Jiangmen Shixiang prevented Shun Qingqiu from taking, because Zhang Qinghua did not try to get in Shun Qingqiu's way after breaking the news of that bill. That fool is no longer a cultivator of Qingjing or Zhang Chong. Zhang Qinghua is pretty sure that fool is still paying that bullshit off, actually. Anyway, the spiritual seal is pretty solid proof that he is who he says he is. Luo Jiahui probably recognizes Zhang Qiong's sigil. Maybe Luo Jiahui has never seen a sect or clan cultivator's spiritual seal before, but she's probably heard of them. If her shaking hands are any clue, she's definitely never held one before. Master Cultivator, she stammers, looking up at him helplessly. Please, allow me to explain. I came here in secret to look for your son. I feel a responsibility to him after his parents met such unfortunate fates. And while clearly he is well-loved in your home is... It's a fucking hovel, Zhang Qinghua does not say. Luo Jiahui's eyes tear up, even though he hasn't insulted her home directly yet. Oh no. Well, Luo Jiahui chokes up, face twisting with an effort not to cry. Your home could be better, is all I'm saying. Luo Jiahui bursts into tears, shaking silently with the force of her upset. Oh shit, Zhang Qinghua says, unintentionally. I do my best to feed him, Luo Jiahui sobs, holding onto the spiritual seal like it's a lifeline. I always make sure to eat so I can feed him well. Please don't take him from me. I can't. Oh, no. No. He's the only thing I have left, and I love him so much. I'm not going to take him from you. Luo Binghe, whose little face was also screwing up, bursts into tears as well. The raised voices and his mother's tears have upset him, too. Luo Jiahui nearly throws the spiritual seal at Zhang Qinghua so she can rush across the room to scoop up her baby, soothing him through her own tears. She rocks him back and forth, clutching him tightly. Oh, wow. That's sort of heartwarming and heartbreaking. Ouch! Shang Qinghua, having failed to catch the spiritual seal, picks it up from the floor and tucks it back into his robes. He just sort of sits there and waits, honestly not knowing what else to do. Eventually, Luo Jiahui comes back to sit across from him, rocking a whimpering baby protagonist in her arms. Luo Binghe chews his own little fist and tugs at his own black curls, tiny tears at the corners of his eyes. Luo Jiahui looks at him with reddened, tearful eyes, suspicious and protective. Wow, does she have a minor pre-canon protagonist halo herself? Maybe it's a tragically doomed mother of the protagonist halo. Tragic female lead? Whatever its name, it's very good at making Shang Qinghua feel like the scummiest person alive. I'm not going to take him from you, Shang Qinghua repeats helplessly. What do you want from us? Luo Jiahui demands. I wanted to offer you somewhere else to live, Shang Qinghua answers. For a moment, Luo Jiahui stops breathing. Call it Luo Bingha's inheritance from his late birth parents, if you like, as thanks for caring for their son, Shang Qinghua insists desperately. You would be akin to the widow of a beloved loyal retainer. Out of respect for his absent parents, I would be honored to give you a small home in Sanjiao Town, one of the settlements at the base of Changchong Mountain Sect's range, in which to raise your foundling son. Luo Jiahui is breathing again, but she doesn't seem to dare being overjoyed. What? What would you ask of us? Nothing, Shang Qinghua squeaks, his face feeling like it's burning. Like he never wrote hundreds of thousands of words of porn, millions of words of kinky, kinky erotica. A gift without conditions. You wouldn't have to work at all. You could focus on raising your son. There would be, no visits to your bedroom from me. No visitors at all, if you like. The misunderstanding earlier... Luo Jiahui flushes pink again as well. You don't want a mistress, she asks, just to make sure. Shang Qinghua shakes his head vehemently. No! No! It might be in character for the original scum spy Shang Qinghua to take advantage of a young woman like that, maybe, but Airplane would sooner jump off a cliff without his sword. Not only does he absolutely not want to do that, but the protagonist would castrate him. Demon Emperor Luo Binghe, Black and Stallion protagonist extraordinaire, would turn Shang Qinghua into a human stick for laying a finger on his beloved mother like that. Anyway, the disciples of An Ding work themselves to the bone, and their peak lord is no exception. Not at all. Where would Shang Qinghua find time for a mistress? All his free time is spent dealing with the tempestuous demon lord who summons him in the dead of night and occasionally drops in on his leisure house without warning to order him around. And to steal his bed. Or a wife? Luo Jiahui presses. You're not looking for a wife? No, no mistress, no wife, Shang Qinghua promises. But, Luo Jiahui bites her lip, what would you tell people? What would I tell people? Shang Qinghua thinks about it. Maybe that you're my younger brother's widow? I could, bring you to Changchong Mountain Sect itself, maybe. But Anding Peak really isn't very private or quiet. And, well, plenty of people in Changchong Mountain Sect have families, spouses, and children. But it's generally expected that the mountains are for cultivation. Anyone who isn't cultivating... who hasn't been accepted by the sect leader as a disciple or cultivation partner, generally doesn't stay on the peaks. The mountains are for the Marshall family. At least the peaks are for the Marshall family, and the lower slopes are fair game. The families of Chang Chong mountain sect cultivators, if they have one, if their family lives nearby, live in one of the many settlements along the Tian Gong mountain range. There are some exceptions, for a variety of reasons, but they're often temporary, and they always mean gossip. Most cultivators, however dignified or distinguished, gossip like it's what forms their golden cores, which means that Shang Qinghua is either happily at home among the juicy details or extremely stressed out that some nosy disciple will one day catch his interactions with Mo Bei Jun out. Covering for his meetings with the demon lord is enough work sometimes. If Shang Qinghua brings Luo Jiahui to the mountain to live with him, he'll be caught out immediately. Everyone on the mountain range will know the scandal by the end of the day. Zhongmen Xuxiang will call him over for tea and give him the worst look of concern and disapproval. If someone like Xian Shu Peak Lord Qi Qing Qi doesn't come around to kill him super dead for having a teenage mistress first. "Oh no," Luo Jiahui says, shaking her head. "I couldn't stay on the mountain." She looks a little wistful, though. But such generosity," Luo Jiahui continues. "I couldn't accept without working. I insist," Shang Qinghua interrupts. "I wouldn't dare to treat you as a servant. You have a child to look after, Madame Luo. Who would look after your son while you worked? Tang Qiong sect has limited servants who live on the mountain anyway. The disciples work hard to cultivate themselves in all manner of skills. Some Tian Qiong disciples have developed a slight eye twitch at the phrase, chores build character. Shang Qinghua would quickly develop an eye twitch too, just by wincing at the thought of what a certain protagonist will do if Luo Jiahui overworks herself in his service. You're a little old for the traditional Tian Qiong selection tests, I'm afraid, Madame Luo, Shang Qinghua says with nervous laughter. Oh, Luo Jiahui says, with another slightly wistful, disappointed look. Ah, most of Tian Qiong's peak lords prefer teaching and molding children, Shang Qinghua adds apologetically. But you could begin practicing basic cultivation on your own if you like. I won't forbid you from cultivating if you choose. Luo Jiahui is wide-eyed again. Me? Cultivate? If you like. Tang Qiong makes extremely simple beginner's cultivation manuals now for the mundane citizens, which are basically just a beginner's guide to meditation and the concept of spiritual energy. They certainly don't have any sect secrets or styles in them. Someone, Mu Qingfan, was complaining about the pervasiveness of fake cultivation manuals, some of which are actively harmful and basically tell people to ingest poisons to get a golden core. And Shang Qinghua was unthinkingly like, why don't you make your own don't do this at home guide then? Mistake? So now they do. Qian Tao peak disciples copy them as punishment and whatever. And Shang Qinghua is basically considered responsible for removing fake cultivation manuals and Conmen's miracle cultivation poisons from circulation around the Tiangong range. Fuck his life! Wouldn't someone be offended if I did that? Luo Jiahui asks. Oh no, Shang Qinghua assures her. Not at all. Well, maybe. But those cultivators and cultivation sects are snobs and assholes. Tiang Qiong Mountain Sect has some of those snobs, sadly. Shang Qinghua, being from humble backgrounds, was bullied by them, so he knows. But the official sect stance is that they believe all individuals, no matter how lowly, have the right to cultivate themselves. Sect leader Yue Qingyuan is extremely immovable in this particular stance. It turns out that airplane making cultivation kind of hand-wavy in Proud Immortal Demon way leads to a lot more casual usage of spiritual energy than he was expecting, even if most mundane people who try to learn a little cultivation never form anything close to golden cores. They never fly on swords, never fight demons or beasts, unlike the cultivation sects, who take their arts very seriously. They might still use one or two very simple spiritual techniques, if they've got a proper teacher and the proper diligence. Meditation is very common. Many master craftspeople in this world, in particular, have specialized spiritual techniques, which have been passed down from master to apprentice, including gardeners, cooks, artists, and every kind of craftsperson, especially the ones who live near cultivation sects or who serve prominent noble families. They take pride in their particular cultivation. It also turns out that, despite the Tianqiang selection tests being exclusively for children, airplane shooting towards the sky never explicitly put an age limit on when people can learn cultivation, and never explicitly stated what stops older people from learning cultivation like any other life skill. So older people do. Most adults go to other sects for that, instead of Tianqiang Mountain Sect, because it's harder for them in many ways, and the learning process is very different. But sometimes they apply to learn from various Tianqiang peaks afterwards, especially if they're a master craftsperson of some kind, and sometimes they even get accepted. Then you end up with senior disciples who are or look 16, teaching junior disciples who look 60 years old. Zhang Tinghua finds it alternatively very funny and very annoying, because he really can't tell who the senior disciples are sometimes. Luo Jiahui looks completely blown away by the possibility of learning any cultivation. She looks overwhelmed by the offer in general. This is too much, she says, hoarsely, swallowing. Master Cultivator, this is an honor and a gift that I do not deserve. Nonsense, Zhang Qinghua declares grandly, feeling extremely generous about this whole canon divergence endeavor at the moment. He is a wise and benevolent master stepping off the high mountain to help an innocent young girl suffering from misfortune. Anyone who would accept an orphan child as their own is a kind and righteous person who deserves to be rewarded for their good deeds. Luo Jiahui stares at him, then bursts into tears again. Oh, fuck. Luo Bingha makes distressed noises again as his adoptive mother tries to soothe him and sob at the same time. Zhang Qinghua tries to soothe Luo Jiahui before everyone in this hovel starts weeping uncontrollably. But this somehow leads to Luo Jiahui's entire life story tumbling out. It doesn't take Zhang Qinghua very long to start feeling like the worst person alive again for what this world did with his hack authorial choices and general taste for melodrama. This is what he understands from between the sobs. She's 19, which is depressingly a lot better than Zhang Qinghua originally feared. She saved and adopted Luo Bingha when she was 18. She was, at that point, working as a washerwoman already because she'd been thrown out of her home, disowned by her family, and essentially cast out of her hometown, all for daring to get pregnant outside of marriage to an inappropriate man. My mother said that I wasn't allowed to use the family name anymore, Luo Jiahui sobs. But I couldn't use my that man's name, and I couldn't leave my Bingbing without a family name. And then I thought he'd be lonely if it was only him, so I started using it too. It's a good name, great name, Zhang Qinghua promises. A very good name. Well done. That explains why her name is Luo Jiahui. But it doesn't explain where her lover is or what happened to her pregnancy. Zhang Qinghua doesn't ask, but Luo Jiahui tells him anyway. The story, unsurprisingly, gets worse. Because nothing is too tragic for the protagonist's tragic backstory. Luo Jiahui ran away with her lover at 17 after being labeled an outcast in her hometown. And they'd eventually ended up in this town on the Luochuan River. Her lover had dithered around the subject for a while, having second thoughts, before he outright refused to marry her. In fact, she was shortly abandoned by her rotten, no-good older lover, who'd apparently only seduced her at first for the fun of it. And, though he professed to have developed strong feelings for her, didn't actually want to settle down and work hard to support a family after all. A pregnant wife was more restrictive and less romantic than he thought it would be. He loved her but wasn't in love with her. Sorry! Luo Jiahui had given birth alone to a stillborn child.
I thought I was going to die of shame and grief, she says, now sobbing into a cloth from one of her laundry stacks,
while Luo Binghe whimpers pitifully in her arms.
My baby Bingbing saved my life.
Zhang Qinghua pats her on the arm very, very gently. Listening, he knows that listening is usually what women want, so he'll do that. Of course, after hundreds of chapters of formulaic trope-abusing bullshit, Zhang Qinghua knows what his blackened protagonist would do to comfort a distraught woman. But again, Zhang Qinghua would literally rather jump off a cliff than seduce Luo Jiahui for a variety of reasons. Not happening, never happening. Also, Zhang Qinghua isn't good-looking enough to pull that off. He doesn't have the face for a protagonist smolder. There's a lot more ugly snot here than when Airplane wrote these scenes. He doesn't think he ever used a stillbirth to invoke pity in regards to a wife. He's not completely certain on that front, but he's pretty sure. No, wait, fuck. There were definitely some miscarriages. Even some late-term miscarriages. Do those count? Harem politics. Gotta love him. Oh, man. He really feels like the third scummiest man to ever live right now. Luo Jiahui, after her faithless, immature lover abandoned her to give birth alone, was somewhat of a fallen woman in the eyes of the town, which worked against her when, after adopting Luo Binghe, the kind Master Gao, who had hired her to do some washing for his family's well-known and well-respected house of relaxation and rejuvenation on Luochuan River, began pressuring her to offer certain other services as well. Luo Jiahui couldn't say no to her insistent main employer, one of the most powerful men in town, and things only escalated from there. What scum! Zhang Qinghua readily declares, taking advantage of you like that.
All I could think was that he was going to take away all my work. And that he was going to tell everyone not to give me work or sell to me.
Luo Jiahui says,
I was already in his debt and I needed to feed my baby.
Would it be weird if Zhang Qinghua offered to have the man killed for her? Because he could totally do that. It's very easy. Shockingly easy, really. He can even make it look like an accident. It's what bros do. You'll never have to see him again, Zhang Qinghua promises instead. Never, ever again. Because he remembers writing about how Luo Binghe's mother had a soft heart, which she passed on to her son, who learned the virtues of forgiveness and patience at her knee. So, of course, Luo Binghe could be further blackened when his late mother's lessons were brutally crushed under the foot of Shen Qingchu. She'll probably get freaked out if Shang Qinghua offers to kill a man for her out of sheer authorial guilt.
Thank you,
Luo Jiahui says sincerely, eyes shining. It's the least that I can do, Shang Qinghua says magnanimously. Of course, this is when the system decides to make Shang Qinghua's point deduction. It comes with a little ding and everything. Fuck you, Shang Qinghua thinks. But on the bright side, this probably means that Luo Jiahui will accept his offer. Yes, success! He is one step closer to having the protagonist in his pocket when Emperor Luo Bingha brings his great and terrible revenge down on Tang Chong Mountain Sect when he comes across Shang Qinghua on Anding Peak. If Shang Qinghua has not already faked his death by this point, which is kind of the plan. Airplane's beloved blackened protagonist son is going to go, "No, wait, stop. That's my Uncle Shang. He saved my mother's life. I repay all kindnesses done to me tenfold. Uncle Shang, please come live in my palace forever as my beloved family, where you will be treated as a king and never have to look at an accounts ledger ever again." Yep. Purely selfish reasons here. Saving his own skin. That's why he's doing this. His son is coming to Tan Chong Mountain Sect.